Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Unnamed MMA Podcast with Jordan Sherwood and myself, no longer Adam Abdallah. We miss him already, Mario Heron. Follow Jordan on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Jordan, how are you doing and how badly do you miss Adam?
Abdallah's great. I miss him immensely, you know, but I'm happy for him and I'm happy for Black. New opportunity at Westwood One, so couldn't be more ecstatic for them and taking the next step. But listen, you know, next man up, right? You know, like with the podcast must go on. We must start talking about the UFC in 2026. We're a little bit on hiatus for a tad, but there weren't any fights to talk about. So the only thing that we would have been doing was like talking about rumors and maybe fights that are scheduled for down the road. So I'm ready to get started. I know your shit when it comes to the MMA and in the UFC. So excited to get this next chapter going of the Unnamed MMA Podcast.
Very excited as well. And we have news already we can hit, Jordan. And it's unrelated to UFC 24, which we'll break down and give you our best bets for that. But Conor McGregor, White House card, not versus Michael Chandler, but versus Jorge Masvidal. Can you stomach this? Does this do anything for you?
Well, I mean, yes and no. Look, I think I still am of the belief, even though we haven't seen him compete in, 6 years, maybe more, and the last time was a boxing match or whatever, like, Conor McGregor still moves the needle. As obnoxious as he is and as outlandish or whatever belief you have of him, he still moves the needle. He's still one of those guys in MMA that you have to get together with your buddies if he's fighting on pay-per-view and no longer fighting on pay-per-view, right? Now he's just fighting on Paramount Plus. So it is a big deal if he's competing on the card. And it's weird that the guy would be Street Jesus. It would be Jorge Masvidal that is opposite him. But then again, like, it kind of makes sense because, you know, Mario, you and I have been talking, not on the podcast, obviously, but at ESPN about, like, what this card is and, like, this. Everybody's going to be talking about the DC card and when it starts to take shape and the rumored fights and then when they start to schedule actual fights. Like, it's going to be the biggest thing that the UFC puts on this year. So why not headline it or include, if you will, a guy like Conor McGregor, which won't have any title implications or any rankings implications. It'll be just cool to see him compete on the White House lawn. And if he's standing opposite Jorge Masvidal, yeah, that's great. I'm certainly into it.
It's a good retirement fight, I think, for both guys. It's a great send-off of two legends of the sport. And, you know, with UFC's promotion with this Paramount Plus stuff, I'm walking down the street in Chicago to our office, and guess who's still on the UFC posters? It's still McGregor, you know? Like, it's not Paddy Pimblett's not on there. Ilya Topuria's not on there. Max Holloway's not in there. It's Conor McGregor. So, big name. We'd love to see him on the UFC card for the White House just one last time. Good retirement. Watch both go off into the sunset. But we have UFC 324 to talk about. And one big fight, the co-main event, got canceled off this, and it's Kyla Harrison versus Amanda Nunes. My first thought, Jordan, was with this getting canceled and Harrison's neck injury, maybe this could be a White House card fight. Turns out, no, Harrison won't be ready probably until around August, they said. How sad were you about this news, and how does this affect this card overall, you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was the fight that I was looking forward to the most. I am of the belief, and people that have tuned into the podcast before know this, Amanda Nunes is on my Mount Rushmore of mixed martial arts fighters, not female MMA fighters, Mount Rushmore of MMA fighters. I think she's one of the best of all time. I was super excited that she was coming out of retirement. She looked good. She looked to be in shape. And wanted to see her compete against, you know, a woman in Kayla Harrison that's been dominating the sport for the last 4 to 5 years, whether it be in the UFC or in PFL. And I was ecstatic for the matchup and also ecstatic to bet on it, too. I really did like the odds as they were released on Amanda Nunes. I still feel like she's someone that you can't count out. And you'd have to prove to me that, you know, Harrison would be able to be on her level from a striking standpoint, be able to get her to the ground and keep her on the ground. Yeah, you don't know what Amanda's like a couple years out of retirement, but like I said, she looked to be in shape. So, I mean, I'll be excited to see the fight whenever they put it on, but certainly the 324 card was impacted, you know, because of the dismissal. But again, like, we're not paying $89.99 for it anymore, right? You know, it's like $10 a month and you're getting it all, so I'm not as upset maybe as I would have been in years past.
that certainly eases the pain of this as well. It stinks, too, because when you heard Dana White even talk about this a lot, Jordan, in his interviews and press conferences, this was the fight he talked about the most for this first card for the Paramount Plus era. It was, this is the biggest fight in MMA women's history, which you and I both agree. Sucks to see it go. Can't wait for them to get back at it. I'm with you. I think Nunez, the way she was priced, made me very excited. I thought, okay, this is going to be a little lunch for me on Sunday after she wins. But now we have to move on and find other bets. Let's go ahead and dive into it for UFC 324 this weekend in Las Vegas. And we start off with Arnold Allen plus 225 underdog versus John Silva in a featherweight bout. Jordan, who do you like in this one? And is there any chance of an upset here with Arnold Allen?
Well, one thing that we will talk about, and as we get going in the Unnamed MMA podcast, Adam Abdallah was a huge fan of the Fighting Nerds, right? I mean, they had an unbelievable year up until the last couple of fights where they did lose, including John Silva, getting humbled a little bit, got a little reckless against Diego Lopez, and lost the fight. I'm excited to see him return. I love this fight to open up the main card, but I don't love the price on John Silva. He's currently priced about a 275 to 315 favorite. I think that there's not a lot of value on John Silva because Arnold Allen can fight. Like, Arnold Allen's been in the top 10 of the featherweight division forever. He's got a good boxing background. He can work in some wrestling, and he's still relatively young, I think 31 years of age. I think the problem for him winning the fight is that I don't think he can hurt John Silva. Diego Lopez obviously could hurt John Silva and match him, strike for strike, strike for strike, if you will. I don't think Arnold Allen can do that. Arnold Allen's going to want to lull John Silva into a boxing match and kind of try and eke out a decision. I don't love that play either. So right now for me, actually, I hate to do this, Mario, first fight that we're breaking down, first fight card of the year. I got no play on this fight because until John Silva, gets down a little bit, maybe I'd throw a little, money line on it. But, and I don't know if I like him inside the distance either. So I think it's probably a no play for me on this one.
I'm with you. I think John Silva's going to go a little head hunting in this as well. With that fight that he lost versus Diego Lopez, took his kind of name out of that title contention. And you mentioned it. I rewatched that fight last night. He put himself in the worst type of situations versus Lopez and still managed to just get to the second round, which I don't know how he did. But versus Allen, smart fighter, not aggressive, makes you be the aggressive one, counter-reacts to that. It's a no play for me, but it might be a parlay leg for me that might try to convince you with this next fight we're going to talk about. With Natalia Silva, who's a minus 225 favorite, versus Rose Namajunas. What do you have in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think this potentially could be the changing of the guards, if you will. I mean, Rose Namajunas is one of the greatest fighters that we've ever seen, multiple divisional champion. I've been at the top for quite some time. Very good striking, great submissions, can work in wrestling. The only thing I think that has always plagued her is just the mental aspect of it. And it's weird to say that because she was so well known for the mental hurdle she got over against Joanna Jędrzejczyk the first time that they met. And when she won the title, she knocked out Joanna, in that first round. But there are some times where she's just put up snoozers. She's just put up lackluster efforts, hasn't been aggressive. And I think Natalia Silva is a fighter that is on the come up, should be in line likely for a title shot. I mean, you look at her last couple of victories over Grasso, over Andrade, over Arujo, Andrea Lee, she's beating the top contenders in her weight class. Not like, not necessarily like going out there and finishing them, but she's going out there and winning fights and winning them, pretty convincingly. And I think she's going to do the same. I think that she's going to be the aggressor. I think that she's not going to be threatened by the experience of Rose Namajunas. And I think Natalia Silva is going to do what Natalia Silva does. She's going to win this fight, win it on points. So I'm going to get that price down from Natalia Silva, which is currently, I'm seeing it priced right anywhere from a 480 to a 400 favorite. Let's get her down to win via decision. And that helps us, if I could find it here. This is great audio here. Where we go? Where is Silva via decision? Oh, it is. It's like $1.95. So I'll take that. That splits it in half, and I think she wins the fight and marches on likely for a title shot next after she defeats Rose Namajunas.
Yes, I'm with you. I have the exact same bet for this one. Look, Silva, I'd be little bit more cautious to take her if this wasn't her first time facing a former champion, facing someone in the top 10. And she certainly does deserve a title shot after she finishes off Rose, because I don't think there's anyone else she needs to go through. She definitely put her name as the best overall contender for that belt. So I'm this in one with you. Could you do a little John Silva, a little Silva and Silva parlay?
Silva, yeah, a little Silva law firm parlay, if you will. Yeah, I think so. I'm confident with that. I think I'd be worried a little bit if this fight were going five rounds, but it's not. It's going three. You will know this about me, Mario. I always pay attention to also fighters that are coming from the same camps. Mm-hmm. I do believe it's the Elevation Fight Team. So Justin Gaethje is competing in the main event. Trains along with Rosanami Yunus up in Colorado. So she's used to altitude. She's used to going hard with the cardio standpoint. But I just don't think it's enough. I think Rose has seen her better days behind her. Natalia Silva's on the way up. So I like the play. So we're in agreement. Silva via decision. Cut that price in half.
All right, next one we got Waldo Cortez Acosta versus Derek Lewis, the fan favorite. Acosta's the heavy favorite in this, though. -325. Derek Lewis +260 on the money line. Heavyweight bout. Jordan, what do you think for this one?
Yeah, I mean, look, Waldo Cortez Acosta should have been up for kind of like fighter of the year, right, last year. Just the amount of activity that he did, having five fights, including, two like back-to-back victories in November. You know, he's a very good boxer. You know, he's got good speed, good footwork for the heavyweight division. I wouldn't say he's necessarily got some knockout power. I don't really see it from him. I think he just beats guys via strikes. And Derek Lewis, I mean, come on. Derek Lewis is a Hall of Famer in my book, right? I mean, he's got the record for most amount of knockouts in UFC history. The guy is just uberly entertaining. And he only loses, like, to the best of the best, right? And isn't he on, like, a two-fight win streak right now, too? Mm-hmm. And if he's not losing to the best of the best, fine. Then he loses to guys that are powerful strikers. Waldo Acosta is not. Or he loses to, like, dominating grapplers like Jelton Almeida or Curtis. Or no, he knocked out Curtis Blaydes a couple of times. But like a Jelton Almeida. Waldo Acosta is not. So for me, I think I'm leaning Black Beast here. I think I'm leaning Black Beast. He's going to get a stand-up fight, which he wants, and he just needs to land one time. And Waldo Acosta is going to sleep. So I think I'm going to favor the Black Beast. And let's not be naive to the fact that whether it was a finger poke or a strike, like Waldo Acosta almost lost that fight to Ante Dalaja, back in early November. Like that fight was, thank God, because that fight was restarted. I had Acosta in that fight and won the fight. But like, look, you might not be in agreement with me, but I think a sprinkle on Derek Lewis here is the play, not on Waldo here to win the fight via decision or something like that.
This is my pizza money, the late DoorDash Taco Bell order bet of the night. It's Derek Lewis.
Derek Lewis.
+260. And everything you said, if Derek Lewis is going against a wrestler, I don't like him. He's just going to go to the ground. The fans are going to boo. He's going to get submitted. It's not going to go well. But he's facing a striker, which he has the more power against as well. That screams this is perfect day for Derek to get an upset. That screams, too. You know, he looked in his press conferences and some of his interviews. He kind of changed his tone. He was all about the money. And then now with the heavyweight division, let's be honest, being an absolute disaster, he sees there's an opening right now for him to get that belt one last time. Like, there's a chance and an avenue for him to do that. I think he realizes that opportunity, realized that maybe he can go out on top. The guys that are above him are all strikers. So I think Derek Lewis is trying to start his one last dance, one last opportunity towards that belt. And he does that on Saturday by beating Acosta. So +260. Come dance with me. I'm taking that out.
Look, it's a great storyline. It sucks that we're there with the heavyweight division.
Yeah.
We could talk about Derek Lewis at this stage in his career being in title consideration. The other play real quick, I think you might have looked at it too, is I might lean a little bit slightly on the over at 1.5. It's like a $1.38, $1.35. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times that Derek Lewis gets kind of lulled in there a little bit. And Waldo obviously is going to want to, get Derek Lewis into the later rounds to work his boxing. So that might be something to look at an over at 1.5.
I don't hate that at all. Don't hate that at all. All right, the next one that we have, Sean O'Malley, -205 favorite versus Song Yadong at +170 in the bantamweight division. Jordan, how do we feel about this? Can Sugar get one back in the win column?
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's any opponent that's going to do that for him, it will be a guy like Song Yadong. You know, I think Song Yadong got like kind of like peaked a little bit too early in his UFC career. You know, he had a loss to Kyler Phillips, was able to bounce back. But since that point, like, it's really only been the number one contenders or now current champions that Song Yadong isn't able to get, you know, ahead of. And he's got good power. I think he's benefiting still from Team Alpha Male tutelage, being a good wrestler. But for me, I just think that Sean O'Malley, if he's right, and I think Sean O'Malley's going to be right because he's not fighting Merab Dvalishvili, you know, the striking is still one of the best we have. He's got unbelievable length, unbelievable power. And I also think he's a very good strategist too. Like, he's got a good coaching staff as well, even though I hate them. Like, they, all the shit that they pull off is like annoying, but they win fights. So
yep.
I think Sean O'Malley is the right play. He's kind of similar to like John Silva here. Like, I don't love the value, and actually I probably would not be as confident to put him into the parlay as I am with John Silva and Natalia Silva. So for me, this is probably also going to be like just a no play. I hate to be boring on the co-main event, but I don't see a clear path to have confidence in Song Yadong to win the fight, and the value on Sean O'Malley is certainly not there.
Yep, I agree with you. The thing with Song, too, is I feel like every time he's faced a striker on the level of O'Malley, he has failed, right? He fell against Jan. Sanhagen KO'd him. You know, you beat Cejudo, but at that point in his career, Cejudo has 4 straight losses. A lot of guys took him out. Like, that's not something to brag about in your resume anymore. And O'Malley, you know, he's kind of had his newfound confidence because there's a new champ, and he thinks he can take on Jan, and that's a nicer matchup for him. I told you this last time that I kind of had a feeling that Song could maybe win this one. I've kind of changed my tune. I'm kind of going away from him. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's maybe an upset here, because I think O'Malley's just too focused on Jan and not enough on this one. And that's where I could maybe see an underdog happen here. Plus, it's a striking match. Anything can happen in striking. All the only thing that has to happen is you have to get caught once. And O'Malley gets caught once, he goes to the ground. You know, we shall see what happens. Maybe Merab took all of his confidence. Maybe that could happen too. But overall, no play for me. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. By Saturday, I'll probably bet Song. That's going to happen. Now we got the main event, where we've all been waiting for. Justin Gaethje +190 versus Paddy the Batty Pimlet -230. The lightweight interim championship bout. What do you think here, Jordan?
Well, first off, it's funny that, you know, and I was just reading an article about this too, like, really no promotion for this fight card.
None.
outside of Jim Nance mentioning it in the AFC divisional round. And I love the fact, thinking about now, that we're going to get a boatload of Jim Nance promos for UFC cards.
Let's go.
Down the line. I can't wait for him to promote the Apex card during the Masters. You know, that's just going to be sick, right? Look, Paddy the Batty deserves to be here. You know, he's won the fights. He's now winning them, you know, more and more in impressive fashion. I think the victory over Michael Chandler, right, was very impressive, the way that he did it. I've always worried about him because he just doesn't have very good defense.
Yep.
You know, in a lot of the fights, he's been tagged and tagged hard. And I was worried about that. As it got higher and higher into the evolution of fighters that he was fighting. Justin Gaethje, obviously, we know, throws really hard. And, you know, I can't believe that he's still competing at this level with all the wars that he's been in. And there's a lot of me, Mario, that believes, like, you know, just with these two guys and stylistically, you know, Paddy, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, but he likes to strike, has power, has shown now improved cardio, so that's not an issue for him anymore. And Justin Gaethje, just, you know, even though he has that wrestling background, never uses it, tremendous leg kicks, great power, could come after you from a cardio standpoint as well. Like, I think this is going to be the one fight where, like, Paddy, like, goes, like, the 5 rounds and shows he could go the 5 rounds and just wins and kind of wins convincingly. But I'm not going to bet that shit. Like, that's boring. I can't do that. So Paddy's going to win this fight. Paddy overwhelms him. It's Paddy's time. He's going to win this fight. He's going to win it inside the distance. That's going to be the play for me. So Paddy Pimblett finishes, you know, Justin Gaethje. We get that price down to about $1.21, $1.50, depending on what book you use.
I can't believe I'm saying this, Jordan, but I actually disagree with you. I love Gaethje in this one. I love him. I think, you know, Patty looked very good against Michael Chandler. Extremely good. I agree. His defense still leaves a lot more to be desired. I don't like how Patty was saying, and his camp's been saying, we're okay with brawling with Gaethje. We're okay with standing up and fighting him. That is the wrong approach to face a guy that loves war, that is facing the last time he'll ever get that belt around his waist. I don't like that. I don't like that he's not going, I'm going to get into the ground, I'm going to go for the submission, I'm going to make it boring. Why not go that route? It's the easier route. It's what you're best at. Just do that. Instead, he's taking this one to show everyone the big bad man he is and that his striking is on the level of some of the best in the division. I think this screams Gaethje's going to show his experience. Gaethje's going to show his power, his ability to dodge a little bit better than Patty can. I'm taking it now with full confidence, but I'm taking it going, it's Michael Chandler upgraded, and Chandler still caught you a little bit. I feel comfortable in a guy winning this one that has a lot of years on him, that's faced a lot of guys that are scarier than Patty, and has faced better grapplers if it does go that way in his fights. So I like Justin Gaethje.
It's a very astute analysis that you have there. I don't disagree with you at all. This fight's not going to be what I release at Fat Jack Sports, to start out the year. It won't be one of my premium plays. The Silva decision, I'm definitely confident in that. So that's likely going to be one that I release. And I might take a really hard look at Derek Lewis as an official play. I think this fight either way is extremely interesting. I do hope, I think personally as a fan, I hope Patty wins.
Yeah.
I think Patty's good for the sport. We've seen Justin Gaethje been there, done that. Who know, and Patty's got some, he's got some animosity, and there's some conflict there with Ilia Topuria. So I would love to see that fight booked, just because of the lead up to it. Like, we would get full Patty promoting it in a proper way. But nonetheless, it should be fun, and I'm excited for the debut on Paramount with this main event.
Now, if he does win this, and we do get the Ilia fight, who are you betting in that one?
Oh, Ilia smokes him.
Ilia, I mean, it's not even a contest.
Ilia smokes him, yeah. Ilia might knock him out in the first round. Like, that's just how ridiculous I think Ilia Topuria is. Look at what the dude did. He knocked out Max Holloway. He knocked out Alexander Volkanovski. Like, you know, he's or Jairus Oliveira. He's legit, one of the best fighters that we have. So I think, he would roll through Patty Pimblett.
That's one of those where I would celebrate the win like he does, like the night before. Like, I would spend the money already going, and we're good. You know, like, let's go out to dinner tonight, fellas. Let's have a night. One quick question for you on this one. When do you think Armin gets a chance at this belt?
God, that's such a loaded question, because there is something going on between Dana White and Armin Tsarukyan. They just can't get along. They do not look good. And now we're hearing this news that, no Russians are going to be allowed to fight on the White House card. I don't know what I read there or not.
Yeah.
I don't think anytime soon. Honestly, I don't think anytime soon. I think Armin Tsarukyan is going to have to fight probably one or two more times before he gets a title shot. So no. But I did want to show this out there real quick for everybody hanging on. I do like the play of Modestus Bouskaskis over Nikita Krylov in the prelims. I've loved fading the minor Nikita Krylov every time, and it's a slight favorite for Bouskaskis right now. So that likely going to be also an official play at Fat Jack Sports. $1.38 right now for Modestus.
Same category as you. I love that one. That's a fight I'm going to be watching on the prelims as well. That's all we got for you for the Unnamed MMA Podcast with Jordan Sherwood and myself, Mario Heron. Thank you guys so much for listening. Good luck on all of your bets for UFC 324, and see you next week right here on the Unnamed MMA Podcast.